This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
We are feeling sexy. Yes, we are indeed. And that's Jonathan Kidd's weird noise you can hear in the background there, because Chelsea did beat Crystal Palace to record a sixth consecutive Premier League win for the first time, of course, since that title-winning campaign, guys.
In 1959.
In 2016-17.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show. Of course it is, with me, Matt Beadle, and the guys on the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd.
Kiddo.
And Alex Churchill.
Hello.
It's been a while since you've been on, Alex.
I know. I've been in the desert.
Have you?
Yeah, it's not even a euphemism. I've actually been in the desert. So,
crikey.
Yeah.
Fun? This is not a metaphor.
Yeah, it's not a metaphor or anything arty like that. No, I actually have been wading through Jordan. So,
but with Chelsea fans,
we are.
I know we are, but with Chelsea fans or not? Well, oh. Some of them were, or some of them weren't. Because you were lecturing them, weren't you? About what? Alamein.
We had a Madrid-born Real Madrid fan, but in England supports Liverpool, so obviously there was some friction.
Oh, blimey.
Sort of a neutral Dutchman.
Double friction. Madrid and
A lot of people that
Hazard, you know, as well.
Yeah.
Didn't care. I can't believe that.
I know. A lot of people that just were like, oh, I don't do football. Oh, one egg chaser. We gave him lots of grief on the tour.
Did you?
Yes, we did. But we found a hill in the middle of the Jordanian
and
desert to get the
down.
Results. I kicked him off it. No, I didn't really. He was nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, the music that we always start this show with, which is, Jonathan?
The Liquidator.
That came on in... good test, early doors. That came on in a coffee shop I was in yesterday, and I tell you what, it really got me. I was jumping up and down, singing along. Made me feel like I was right here in the studio sitting with you guys. It's with me forever now.
I find it's just a good piece of music anyway for just, you know, for getting that beat, getting on down, you know what I mean? But also, the Return to Django, The Upsetters, is another one, 1969.
Lovely.
And also Monkey Man, which is great. Which is a fantastic piece.
Jonathan, neither of us were born.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you for that. Well, I was 35 at the time, so, you know, I was past it. So,
wow,
you know,
crikey.
Yeah. And I'm doing well.
You are doing incredibly well.
He is actually 300 years old. Yeah. He doesn't look it, does he?
Yes, Methuselah is my middle name.
Quite funky with that hat on as well, then, I have to say. But look, let's focus on the game. Of course, we spoke about a youngest team in the history of the League Cup. I think it was when you played Manchester United not so long ago. 24 years and 88 days. Youngest ever starting 11 in the Premier League against Palace last week. This is brilliant.
Not surprising.
There we go.
I know. Oh, look at us with our transfer ban. It's going to be a disaster. Lampard's going to be terrible. Oh, boo-hoo. And then, like, third? Equal with Leicester.
Media darlings.
Media darlings.
References to Busby babes and
I know.
The 92.
Media representatives literally gagging on their own vomit because they have to say nice things about Chelsea.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what? I think it's a really good point, that, because I don't want to, you know, ruffle any feathers here, but I do believe, and in my experience, amongst my group of friends, there's not one Chelsea fan. Amongst my group of friends.
You need new friends.
All London born and raised, right? So there's not one Chelsea fan amongst them. And I do feel over the past, I don't know, say since Roman Abramovich came in, right? Well, I'm just going to use that
as
a ballpark.
There's been even more hatred.
So, I do believe that. And whether it's jealousy or envy, whatever it is. But I think this season, since Frank Lampard came in, and generally, bar West Ham fans, is quite a likeable character and liked throughout football. And the fact that he's come in, English manager, and has done what he's done with this Chelsea team so far, like we said, with those youngsters, especially English youngsters, is slightly changing the perception of Chelsea from opposing fans or the wider football fans.
Especially think when one of them scored last night on his second
Absolutely.
I love it because everybody sat there going, hey, look at Chelsea, they didn't bring any youth through, meh, meh, meh. When the truth is, we've been populating the lower leagues with professional footballers for years now. And it just so happens that we've got to this generation where actually a lot of them are good enough to get into our first team, and it just sort of vindicates all the work that people like Jody Morris have done over the last few years.
I think it's because he's been involved. I think there were some in the past who were good enough to get into first teams, but they were just let go for whatever reason. They weren't nurtured.
Mourinho mainly.
Indeed. Well, even Conte as well, and any manager who came in wants to bring his own players. I think all of them down the years, they want to bring their own players in.
Do you know what I love more than anything?
Yeah.
I love that we didn't know Kovacic or Jorginho without Sarri, and everybody disliked them both, and look at them fly now.
Funnily enough,
gone.
Though, Kovacic's debut, he was fantastic and free-flowing, and remember, we all went, blimey, he's good, and he never played like that again, because he was obviously then told, no, you can't do that, you can't express yourself, you've got to go and...
You've disregarded the 387 principles of the Sarri tactical...
Absolutely right, yes.
...regimen
389, there. I think, actually, last
Just
time
don't
I
ask them what hand signal 28 was. No. The club had to have words.
I think that was, I'd like more cigarettes, wasn't it? I'd like more... cigarette
substitutes. No, it was worse. It would have been a press feeding frenzy if our players had started doing that on the pitch. I'll tell you when we're off air.
I'd like to know if that's okay. Thank you very much.
The club were like, no. No. And again, no.
Yeah. You mentioned populating the lower leagues as well with footballers. One of those last season was Reece James. Very good spell at Wigan Athletic. He was pretty good last weekend, wasn't he? I mean, Azpilicueta out for the first time in, 73 consecutive starts?
Well, if you may remember, I predicted that he would start
you
the
did.
Weekend, but I thought that he would carry on with what he'd done against Ajax and put Dave at left back. But no, he played Emerson at left back, who has fantastic stats. I keep disbelieving the stats with the tackles and the lack of... missed passes.
Oh,
the,
it is, but Georgina's
accuracy
stats as well. And
I know they were completely
later.
Wonderful. We will later. But yes, so to actually not play Dave at all when he'd had, 74 consecutive games was actually quite a remarkable step to take from the manager.
And he was quite honest about that as well, wasn't he, afterwards? He said, look, he's been a massive player for us, was a big player for us when I was here, but I just felt the time was right to bring Reece in, especially after that performance against Ajax.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal performance against Ajax in the second half. In fact, it kept them in it, and he scored a goal, of course. Mm. But because Alonso, poor chap, wasn't dealing with the situation at all, was he, in that game?
Did you see him getting molested by an orangutan on social media?
I did. He
wasn't
was taken aback, wasn't he?
Yeah,
he was,
Yeah,
it fancied him, which is understandable.
Hasn't seen his freaky nipples though, has it?
Has he got freaky nipples?
They're on the side of his chest.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh, how do you know that?
Well, because he kept posting these Instagram pictures of himself lounging on a yacht in the summer, and I was like, "Oh, they're a little bit sideways." And then when Bob got his Louise's shirt on the last day of last season, Alonso's nipples were actually about 6 inches from my face, and I thought, "Ugh."
Well, that's
But
that's
he's
good
a lovely man and a great footballer.
Alex is very fond of Barclays, how can we put it, rear.
Derriere,
perfect.
I'm not the only one, to be fair. You sit with is rather...
Yeah, Lynn.
Mind you took enough pictures of it at one of the cup
for
games
you, for
last
you.
Season. For me, for me.
Entirely
anyway,
for you.
Reece James is excellent and we're really pleased
and
he's
a
coming
unit.
Through.
He's
he
a big,
is.
Absolute unit. It was a fantastic moment in the Ajax game where he went for a high ball with the Ajax left back, his name escapes me. And absolutely fair challenge. Bruce went for the ball. Ajax player stunned, lying in heap on floor after challenge. He just carries on going.
The thing about
big guy.
Azpilicueta is that he's so charming and so lovely, and he's been so good for us. I mean, that it's always sad when certain players, when the inevitable turnover happens.
Do you think this is it? Do you think this is the
final? I don't think it's entirely it.
The final curtain.
No, I think this will be. I think we may have the rest of this season and possibly another with him, where he gets a decent amount of football. I mean, there's a lot of games to be played, but I do think as long as James stays fit and Lampard stays in charge, you will see a gradual turnover, and it is something that's going to be quite sad for the fans, I think, because David's rather lovely, isn't he?
But also there's this this rumour at the moment that Chilwell, who had an outstanding game last night against Montenegro, but is he whips the ball in a very similar fashion to Reece James, because what's interesting is that is the kind of cross that Eddie McCready used to do. I'm revealing my age here, which is to just get, you're coming up to the fullback, to the challenge, but you don't actually take them on. You just do a kind of that huge spun diagonal pass. I think that Beckham did so brilliantly that the ball would just, it either hits the head or it bounces in front, and the goalkeeper's not sure whether to come out. Defenders can't quite deal with it, and the forward, used to it, you hope, because of what they do in training, nips in, and it was like the second Ajax goal. What's the name of the guy? The Ajax?
Yeah.
Similar stuff. And James can do that already, and he did it for Wigan on several occasions last year. Not that I watched Wigan last year, but I've seen a few.
Nothing wrong with watching extra Wigan.
No, but that was the gag, wasn't it? That was everybody.
Oh, right,
did
of
you
course.
Watch Napoli last year? Yeah. Did you watch whoever? No, don't worry. It's Bocic's gag. Different coming out of my mouth, I think. But yeah, it was
not quite as cutting.
No, indeed. But the for left back as well, we've got this Ian Mattson, who is
we got very excited in the cup game watching
him,
didn't we?
In the Grimsby game, yeah.
He runs
yeah.
like Ashley Cole.
Ashley Cole, he's
yeah.
yeah.
He didn't have a lot of defending to do, in fairness.
And he's 17.
But the speed was incredible.
Yeah, and that's, you just look forward to people. So I'm slightly disturbed that according to the internet and Twitter, there's interest in Chilwell. I don't understand how Leicester would want to sell him, because they're third, and he's clearly a terrific player.
I absolutely can't see that team breaking up at all,
controversially,
to be honest.
Do you not think, JK, I rather hope that we don't get the second transfer window
yes,
ban
I
overturned
agree
in January, because whoever really changes their fortunes in January anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't really want the disruption when they're playing.
And I think
so
it could affect the
and
the
it is, of course,
setup,
all about us.
Yeah.
What we want.
But it could, just from in terms of bringing players in, it could affect the dynamic. I don't know what, you know, if you've, particularly if... I think they'd choose very, very carefully. I think there would be excessive man management here in this instance, because so many of them have been together since they were six.
I mean, it would be catastrophic if we went spanking money around and sort of undid anything that's going on at the moment.
Well, there's this other rumour is that apparently, because people last night, when I have to say I was rather moved by Abraham scoring such a good goal, even though Montenegro are... how can we put it? Below par.
Not very good at all.
Not very
good at
all.
Rubbish is the word you
use.
And you know what? This is slightly veering off Chelsea. It should have been double figures.
Yes.
It should have been.
Well, it was, wasn't it, five after 35 minutes, wasn't it?
It should have been. Yeah. And this isn't, I'm not criticising England's performance, but I do think, especially after what happened in their stadium in the game before, the reverse fixture, come out and spank them.
Yeah.
Do them for double figures.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like our black players? Oh, well, they just scored 12 goals against
you.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
but anyway, after last night, there were people tweeting, this is the future. What was it? So who was involved? It was Sancho was involved in the Abraham, but who was the previous pass to whoever it was? It was, they picked up on it saying, all these players will be Chelsea players. And you go, but why? Why would we want to? It was Chilwell. Chilwell to Sancho centres with wonderful anticipation from Abraham. Goal. So, and it's tweeted that's going to be the Chelsea lineup of the future. And you go, well, hang on, why? Why would you disrupt? Why bring in Sancho when Pulisic is actually looking now as if he's going to deliver something? Because I've been impressed with his growth as a player.
But then you're forgetting that 99.9% of tweets are tweeted by morons.
Yes, I do. There is something
getting worse
I do.
As well, isn't it?
Yeah, we can't pay too much attention to that Twitter sphere, I have to say,
indeed,
but it is difficult.
But at the same time, that Ron, as in who sits next to me from time
it's
to time,
Ron's rumours.
And it's Ron's rumours, is in fact a Millwall fan, and he knows his things.
He's in the know,
and he says they're in for that Chilwell, you know, in January.
Can't reveal my sources.
I can't reveal. Who? How do you know about this one? No, I can't tell you. But they're in for him, and also there you said Barkley's off. Barkley's going in January. Oh, that would sort of make sense, Ron. Yeah, I get that one. Yeah. Anything else? Alonso, he says his manager doesn't write him. He's off. he's going. Okay. What about any other? Emerson, he said he's going. Yeah. Why?
Going to sign a unicorn
Why is Emerson going? Because he apparently wants to go. So he's asked for a ludicrous wage rise. So he's on the move. Oh, okay. So, you are buying, because he's a bit like that, actually. He does that. He gets it wrong. You are buying Chilwell. And you are also, who else is there? Reece James is replacing Dave. And Dave's not going to play again the rest of the season. Oh, okay. How do you know about this?
I can't reveal my sources. We all know one of those people, don't we?
Yeah. We all know one of those people. Hashtag Ron's Rumours. We're going to get onto those one. A bit later.
We're doing that as well. Giroud.
Giroud, yes. We'll definitely touch on Giroud, who did score, of course, for France. Can't get a minute for Chelsea. This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Plenty more coming up.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Alex Churchill. Of course, if you want to join the debate, very easy to do so. Plenty of points already raised on tonight's show.
Please ring in, guys. Please ring in.
0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp us on that number as well, or tweet us at Love Sport Radio. We're going to look at the international break. Of course, it is the international weekend. We've got to wait for the next bout of Premier League action to come along. But Tammy Abraham, who we want to speak about, of course, his first senior goal for England against Montenegro yesterday. Great goal. Lovely move to finish it off. He hadn't been on the pitch that long. The 430th player to score for England.
I have to admit, at the beginning of the season, out of the half a dozen odd that were coming through, I thought he maybe was one season away from being ready, but he just keeps banging him in, doesn't he?
He keeps banging him in. I don't think he's quite the finished article yet.
No,
I think
but
he's got
he
some way to go.
Excellent form.
But his manoeuvrability, as it were, he gets around fantastic. I mean, neither Higuain or Morata would have scored a goal like that last night.
Morata would have just sat on the floor crying.
Yeah, Morata would have been pushed over.
And then Instagrammed a lot about how miserable he was at Chelsea when he got home.
Yeah, and how the players didn't like him.
Yeah, because you moan all the time.
Yeah.
And you're rubbish. But anyway.
But it was just brilliant anticipation. It's the kind of thing that you think that's a proper striker's goal, that, because he there was a kind of, not telepathy, but he looked at Sancho looked at him. He knew to go to the near post and get his foot in there. And
that's
very
the key,
very
it?
Impressive goal. The
key is that he's scoring all kinds of goals
absolutely.
At the
moment.
But as well.
I felt a great deal of joy with that.
I did.
Because you think, for exactly that reason, actually, we didn't think he was going to succeed. He's part of the whole process, a year or so off of being
one of the shiny ones at this point. But then, to be fair, every single one of them right now is.
And I have to say, did Batshuayi score against Russia? Do you know? Because
go on, keep going.
I was just going to say, be quick.
His
ability to get the ball in the penalty area and swivel and get a shot in is absolutely fantastic, and there's a joy to it.
There is, but
what do you
are
think?
You not, I'm just no, he's doing well, but are you not a bit baffled as to how Lampard's come to the conclusion that
he's better than Giroud?
Yeah, is what I'm saying.
I think it's because he's quicker.
Do you think it's the type of football Frank wants to play?
Yeah, I think it's the swiftness of the whole thing. I mean, you just think they're always going to score. You don't look at them and think, oh, I wonder where a goal's going to come from. Or, you know, like last year, you don't think, oh, how are they going to get past this defence? You think it's going to happen because it's the speed of it. The speed, I mean, it relies heavily on Kovacic and Jorginho. Well, actually, or one of them, because Jorginho wasn't playing against Palace. But it's absolutely brilliant.
Can we do Jorginho's stats? Can
Go
we
on.
Do that?
Please.
I have a meme. Jorginho's stats so far this season. Accurate passes, 765. It says Premier League rank first. Accurate opposition half passes, second in the league. Passes per game, first in the league. Through balls, first in the league. Ball recovery, first in the league. Possession won in midfield, first in the league. Possession won in the final third, third in the league. That is pretty stunning.
Oh, fantastic.
It's incredible. Well, he's come to prominence this season, hasn't he? I know we've spoken about him quite a lot, but I just feel like he's going to be on the show every week at the moment. Just purely because of the way that he had that spectre of Sarri over him last season, and he decided not to go, and he's really, really raised his game.
Well, you wonder whether the club decided not to let him go because he'd signed rather a large contract.
Yeah.
But He did get. He started getting much better towards the end of the season, though, Matt. Actually, because he was terrific in the Europa League final. He was terrific in the games up to them. He's terrific against Leicester, which was the game I always use as a kind of benchmark. That's why I thought they'd win the Europa League easily, because they were very, very good against a side that was beginning to play the way that Leicester have been playing this year under Brendan Rodgers. He had them playing like that towards the end of last season, because he's clearly a terrific manager, Brendan Rodgers.
Without a doubt.
You've just got to entirely give in to that. But for whatever reason, Liverpool didn't work for him. But clearly, a top manager, and he's made that Leicester side into fantastic competitors, and he's absolutely rejuvenated Vardy, who's looking.
He's done a similar thing to Frank, hasn't he? He's taken what was already there to an extent and made it work as opposed to go out, which I think is the benchmark of a good manager.
Yeah,
indeed he has. Jorginho and Emerson in action tonight, actually, against Bosnia for Italy. Batshuayi not playing until tomorrow. I was like, did Batshuayi score? Has he scored? They're not playing until tomorrow, Russia, and then they've got Cyprus. Just to go back to Tammy Abraham as well, I think the reaction from him, when you consider how his season started, of course, hitting the post against Manchester United and then missing or having that penalty saved against Chelsea. Of course, a player who did score in that Super Cup, in the Super Cup, a player who did score was Olly Giroud, of course, who this season has 4 goals in 5 appearances for France. Scored again yesterday.
Did Kante play, by the way? Kante, did he play?
Not a six. So, injured. Plays 5 minutes-ish. France call him up, injured again. Doesn't play a single minute for Chelsea in between the 2 international breaks, and they call him up again. They're not away.
He started. He started against Moldova.
Oh, it's outrageous.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because he was a shadow of his former self against Palace. Well, he wasn't. He was half the players. It was only one of him rather than the twins.
So what's happening with the contact? There must be a breakdown in communication between Didier Deschamps and Frank Lampard here.
Well, perhaps he's just saying, I insist, if he's fit, he comes. I mean, what power have they got, the international managers? They can say, I want them if they're there. I think it's what he was quoted as saying.
Can't they do what Steven Gerrard always used to do and like plead in growing toenails and stuff to get out of England duty? He did that a lot, didn't he?
And Deschamps is considered quite stubborn, isn't he? We know what he's done with Karim Benzema in the past. Yeah. He's not afraid to make big calls, and he probably doesn't care about the Premier League, doesn't care about Frank Lampard, doesn't care about Chelsea.
I'd go so far to say he deliberately doesn't want to encourage the Premier League. But back to Giroud. According to what I've read about him, he's consummate professional. Keeps training hard, waits for his moment. But I suspect will come. One of them will be injured. Something will happen. But it may be that they decide to get rid of him feel that he's surplus to requirements in January.
I don't think so. But I'd be amazed if Chelsea. I think if he begs. And it would be on the player impetus. I don't think as Chelsea you get rid of your third striker, not with the second, especially.
No, but not particularly with somebody as experienced as he is.
Yeah.
I just think the problem he's got is that Frank wants to play a specific way, that Tammy fits much better than any of them and is rewarding his confidence in him.
Has exceeded expectations.
Indeed. And the bat comes on and, given the state of the game, gets lots of shots on goal. And that goal
against Palace as well. Obviously, Pulisic led on to that shot, like you were saying. The swivel in the box is exactly what Batshuayi did. Yeah. Pulisic got on the end of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you absolutely want to keep hold of Giroud for European football.
It just depends how long he's happy to really not play in the Premier League. I mean, 3-4 Premier League appearances this season. Of course, I think only the one start. I mean, that is very, very low, especially considering he's starting for France.
Yeah.
Mm. World Cup winners he's starting for.
Yeah, and he's a World Cup winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible. Okay, well, look, we're going to finish this section on England's best 11, which Stamford Church has provided us with. This is his best 11, of course. I'm just going to read it out and see if you agree, see if you'd make any amendments whatsoever, of course, in the squad. In the England squad at the moment, we've got Mason Mount, Fikayo Tomori, Tammy Abraham and Callum Hudson-Odoi. Chidi's gone with Peter Bonetti in goal. It's a 4-4-2 formation. At the black back, Glenn Johnson, John Terry, Gary Cahill and Ashley Cole. In the middle, Joe Cole, Frank Lampard, Ray Wilkins and Callum Hudson-Odoi. And up front, no surprises there. Kerry Dixon gets the nod with Peter Osgood. What do we make of that one?
Well, I would debate several of those
I think Chidi's man crush on Kerry is in... impacted imploded? His well, yeah, impacted his selection of centre forward.
I mean, for a start, Glenn Johnson for me, I'm sorry, was not great for Chelsea, and Mourinho didn't think so either, and got rid of him. And he was all right for Liverpool, and he was all right.
Is it because
for Stoke,
there's hardly any right backs on the list? I'd rather have Ryan Bertrand.
Well, actually, Ken Shelletto is the man for me.
Yeah.
And that's going back to 1963. But
well, him and Ryan Bertrand are the only other two right backs on there, aren't they?
Yeah, and I would also pick Terry Venables.
So in terms of that formation, the 4-4-2,
Vivian Woodward.
Would you? I mean,
me too.
So in terms of the 4-4-2, are you sticking with that formation? Are you just chucking random players in there?
No,
are you agreeing
we're just
with
chucking
what?
Random players.
We are chucking because Chich has obviously spent quite a long time thinking about this and consulting the list.
Yeah, and whereas
George Hilson, though, do you know that he allegedly hid in a chicken coop to avoid conscription in World War One? I don't think that's true.
What, for the whole of the First World War?
Well, it would only be from conscription, so the beginning of 1916. Oh, okay. But
did he impersonate a chicken when people came to find him?
Must have been quite effective if he got away with it for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It's one of those anecdotes where I'm like, I'd put Vivian Woodward up front with Kerry Dixon.
He was called Gatling Gun.
With Peter
Gatling Gun, wasn't he?
He was.
Hilston.
Yeah. He's still on a weather vane above the East Stand.
He is
we
indeed.
Took him down once and we kept losing.
Yeah,
so
that's right. Because they were cursed. It was a consequence.
But I would put Vivian Woodward up front with Peter Osgood. He was England's highest ever scoring captain.
Well,
and he was a really nice chap.
Woodward.
Vivian Woodward.
And can I just say that Osgood really shouldn't be playing striker because it was his best when he was playing midfield. So
Chich isn't going
to
like it.
No, I know. So, but he'll have to have Kerry in because he's his buddy. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid Odoi...
Bit soon to make that call,
no,
I think.
Definitely not. We
and
can't,
then
no.
on that basis, then yeah. I'd stick Tammy Abraham in there as well.
Yeah, if that's the case. And I'd put Mason Mount in.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
Do it.
Yeah. And I'd put Tomori in just because he's a sub.
There we go. This is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Great debate, guys. We'll see you after this.
We've all got one, and we're not afraid to put it on display. Our opinions, that is. Share yours now at Love Sport Radio on Twitter or call us 0208 70 20 558. Love Sport Radio, your fan station.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Alex Churchill. Now, guys, you did say that you were just throwing players in willy-nilly into this best England 11, best Chelsea England 11 that Stamford Bridge kindly provided for us. But you've got some more names that you've thought about during those ads that you want to throw in.
Yeah. Dennis Wise.
Yeah, Dennis Wise. I'm a fan of Dennis. He played 16 times for England and people used to say, well, he's just a clogger, isn't he? And I didn't. He was a very, very skillful, never gave the ball away, always tried. He was one of my favourite Chelsea players of that era. Mm. And I didn't think he played badly for England when he played. So he's a possibility. You could move him around a bit. I'd have him as a sub or possibly. Another one of my favourite players ever for Chelsea was Barry Bridges, who only played, how many times he played for England? Once, I think. They've won goal four times, they said. But I'm not sure he'd replace anybody. But we were talking about Graham Lasso, Soxie himself. But but Alex wasn't keen because he was a bit horrid to her.
He was mean to me.
Yeah, so we're not sure.
It was Graham Lasso?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
So I think that's reason enough not to include him.
Well, also, I don't think you can. I think
no,
if
you can't
there's
get rid
one
of Ash.
Name we all absolutely agree on in there. Yeah. Definitely we won't disagree on Terry.
I think there are several. You wouldn't get rid of Frank Lampard. Wonderful.
No, or Ashley Cole.
I
wouldn't get rid of Cahill either. I like him and Terry, like 2012
There was
style.
A lovely moment with Gary Cahill in the
Palace
game.
I was
going to
ask, how did it go last weekend?
Well, first of all, it was a kind of muted, well, Gary Cahill, which people didn't join in much, which I found very peculiar. I don't know why that was the case. But then at half-time, he was at the Matthew Harding end, and it was all shouted out, you know, one Gary Cahill was only one Gary, same thing. And he was embarrassed by the whole experience and did a kind of sort of excessive warming up because they're waiting for the second half to start. And he did a kind of, and then did a bizarre dance and did a prescribed a kind of square, which I don't think is in any warming up manual at all, but was just.
Do you think he was reenacting?
Thinking, how could I possibly.
You know, when
cope
they
here?
Sign for Chelsea and they have to stand on a table and do a song? You know that thing?
Yes, I know they do. Yes.
He did Sexier I Know It. Do you reckon he was redoing that in front of the Matthew Harding?
It could have been that. Yeah, no, but it was his back was to the Matthew Harding.
Devastated,
but then at the end,
I missed that, actually.
He clapped at the very end. Well, yeah. It was lovely. And he mentioned it afterwards. He said it was a very good reception. It was.
He had a good game, didn't he?
He's a decent player. He always was a decent player. Mm. But he didn't fit into whatever Sarri was after, and was, I don't think, was treated wonderfully well.
The crazy thing was that
passing of the captain's arm man on the final game of the previous season, of course, with John Terry. And then, yes, he was captain, but just hardly played.
Yeah, sort of meaningless, wasn't yeah. it? He was club captain and referred to as club captain, but... Yeah.
A shame for Gary Cahill. The manager
makes a decision. What do you do? Manager decides he's not what I want. He's not doesn't pass the ball well enough for me or whatever. And I think perhaps that was looking at the way Sarri wanted to play. That was part of the setup. He wanted a centre half who could play the ball better than Gary. And he's a terrific blocker and he's a terrific defender. But I don't think creatively he's not likely to play those 50-yard passes that David Luiz was always doing.
What Zuma is doing at the
moment. And Zuma can do at the moment. Yeah, no, there's an interesting thing. Everybody had written Zuma off as if, well, he'll be replaced, won't he, by Rudiger as soon as Rudiger gets
United.
In. Yeah, because he was poor against United. But he's just got better and better.
I think we'll rotate quite nicely between him, Rudiger and Torre. Well, I think Christensen's going to be the one to go.
Yeah, I think, Ron... Yeah, well, I think Christensen's off. He said, yeah, he's off at Christmas. In the end, there's so many players off at Christmas, according to Ron, that there won't be. I wonder where they're all going to come from, all the replacements.
You were going to play, I think.
I didn't realise I was involved in getting on the pitch. Yeah, I think I would. My previous experience of playing on the sward of Stamford Bridge was to attempt to do a 1-2 with a youth beside me, and I said, yes, yeah, give it, and I tore both hamstrings. and let me tell you, tearing both hamstrings is slightly disastrous. That's all I could do, because with one hamstring, there's always that thing, players go, oh, and they hold the left one, and they've got one leg that works very well, but in this instance, neither leg works, and you just plummet forwards onto your face. And as you say, you then have to... pull yourself off, as it were, misses. And so you're
like
then take it off.
The dog in Family Guy that the guy with the Zimmer frame has.
Yeah, very similar. But thank you for the
I bet you did it with style.
There is one, just to finish up on this England side, before we move on to the pressing matter of fines, is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Now, I like Callum Hudson-Odoi, a good player. Looks like he's going to be a great player. But I don't think he should be in a best England 11
Not yet.
He's just being, I don't know what he's doing. He's playing
with
us.
He's trying to create a show.
I'd rather Barry Bridges should get in there. Or other wingers. Who have we got? Braybrook. Now, he was a decent player and he was a winger. They were going to have somebody to replace. And he then had a very good career with West Ham after that.
If you're going to pick one of the new ones, I think arguably the one that's most shiny at the moment is Mount. I'd put him in before I put Hudson.
Yeah, but still wouldn't have him in there.
No, the greatest ever.
You know? I mean, come on.
Not until he's old enough to vote anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't he vote at 16? No.
18. He's barely old enough to smoke a cigarette, so let's wait a bit before we put him in the greatest Chelsea England 11 of all time. Yeah. Silly Chidge.
Indeed.
Silly Chidge.
Well, a story that went viral this week, guys, was of course that list of team fines published in numerous media outlets about fines that will be delivered to Chelsea players. Now, this is authentic, we're led to believe. It's been authenticated by various sources who say that it's signed by Frank Lampard. That is his signature.
Not Ron, is it?
It is not Ron. Not Ron. He didn't know about this one, believe it or not. But, yeah, punishments. Fines for the club's 20 grand being the most expensive one. That is for being late for the start of training. The next one is £10,000. That is for failing to report an illness or injury before a day off or an hour and a half before training. The one that got me, I think, most was being late to team meetings. £500 for every minute you are late to a team meeting.
Is it?
Because we were having this discussion before with Martin Allen, and he was saying that, I would never go that extreme. But is it proportionate? I suppose so in some respects. If you're earning, 40 grand a week, it's probably not that much, but 20 grand is half your week's wages.
We haven't got any first team players on 20 grand. No, as soon as they turn 18 and within spitting distance of the first team squad, they're on a basic of 35 grand a week. Mm. Everyone playing regularly, I don't think we've got anyone playing on less than 80, 90 grand a week, and I have no problem with him enforcing that amount of fines, especially if he gives me the money for my domestic violence Christmas present drive, if Frank is listening.
Do you want to give that a little plug now, do you? What's
yeah, that? Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, every year, it started at Chelsea about 4 years ago. Every year I pot around grovelling to people for money in the run-up to Christmas, and we play Santa to a group of children living in a domestic violence shelter over Christmas. So, please, Frank.
Yeah, please, Frank. Please donate there. Well,
I've been in the desert, I mean, and I'm running behind.
The money, they've said, haven't they? They said the money does go to charity / team activities, I believe. Because I first looked at it and thought, where is this money going?
Probably
and
to you the can foundation.
Imagine it. Yeah, it will go to the foundation. You can imagine a little bit probably goes into a pot for the end of season do. That's what you get at pretty much every club across England and Britain, I would say, from the very top of the game down to grassroots level. That's standard stuff. And some of it does go to charity as well. But it's just, it's mad that this has been
leaked. Don't you remember, I'm sure it was John Terry a few years ago got smashed with a speeding fine, and it worked out that he would earn the money to pay it in like 30 seconds. That was the amount that you were looking at, and it was completely disproportionate.
It would take Paul McCartney about 0.05 of a second to pay that fine.
He should have all his money taken off him just for that horrendous performance at the Olympic opening ceremony where he just slaughtered Hey Jude.
Yeah, but he was earning so much money from that around the world anyway that it didn't matter, did it really?
No, not really. But yeah, I think it's proportionate, and if it goes to good causes, I don't have any problem.
But I also think it's very good if a kid who's earning about 40 grand is immediately hit in the pocket by that, he won't be late again.
No. So,
well, and I also think one of the bigger pictures here as well is that this is all about team morale. It's all about banter. It's all about bringing the boys together. And yes, I'd imagine there was one up there before. I doubt that Sarri was probably involved in anything like this. Conte, maybe. Well, I don't know.
Both of those managers you've mentioned, there were issues with them. They were really oppressive in other ways, which sort of degraded team morale. When Conte went into phase two, Conte went loony in the after second winning season, the league, basically 5 minutes after winning the league.
Because he didn't get the players he wanted, which he's done with Milan and with
Sarri,
Inter as well.
I mean, they arguably didn't have as arbitrary punishments for being late and stuff, but the team disliked them more. So I think it's proportionate. I think you're right. I think it does make them behave. I think if you're on 40 grand a week and you're half an hour late and it costs you... Oh, my maths is terrible. What does it cost you if you're half an hour late?
250 quid.
No, £500 a minute.
Yeah, so if you're half... Oh, sorry.
Half an hour late.
Crikey, yeah. I don't know, my maths is terrible. A lot of money.
Times.
Talking about a lot of money.
It's costing you, it's costing you a lot of money.
But also you wonder whether it's a kind of, there's a jolliness to it as well, because every team that I've played cricket for or football for, if they've had fines as well for turning up, which, you know, it'll be, you've got to buy the beer, or it's, that's £1.50 because you were 5 minutes late. So you wonder whether, and that's implemented with a kind of jollity.
I mean, if it was a fiver, it wouldn't be worth doing it, would it?
Yeah, you wonder whether this is done in the same way.
I'd give Frank £200 at the beginning of the week and have a lie-in every morning if it was a fiver and I was one of them.
Yeah.
So, no, I've got no problem with it at all.
Mm-hmm. And apparently you can meet him to discuss whether or not you're liable for it.
Well, this is what a lot of clubs do as well, is they hold, and Burnley do this, they hold a court. So you go in and you have a fine and basically there's a jury. Some of the players made up a jury. And
the Honourable Judge Dice
presided with the croakiest voice in the world.
That's right. Well, did he say the other day, that chap that the other day we were chatting to, who was from the Burnley Advertiser, whatever it was. And I said, was it because I said, it's all this shouting that he does. And he said, no, he speaks like that anyway. And he's the Chelsea fan, isn't he? Despite being the Burnley journalist. And you say, no, he speaks like that all the time. That's how he speaks. Because us thinking it's because he shouts.
You can just see him doing
like
a Judge
like
Rinder in the Burnley dressing room over whether someone is 5 minutes late or not. See, again, you're saying it fosters morale, doesn't it? It's
absolutely
a laugh. And it's not like they can't afford it. And if, like, even if half of that money every season is going to the Chelsea Foundation, then I've got no problem with it at all.
Yeah, and I'm sure there will be forfeits as well for those who are probably fined the most. There'll probably be something at the end of the season that they have to do. Well, this is the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Next, we're going to look ahead at how the season's gone so far and what is coming up.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice.
It's the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport. Me, Matt Biddle, here with the guys from the Chelsea Fancast, Jonathan Kidd and Alex Churchill. We've got about 10 minutes or so to go, guys, and we will be back next Friday, of course, to preview the City game. But just want to look ahead to the games coming up and where Chelsea are at the moment. Of course, in third, just 5 points adrift of Liverpool, which when you consider where things were at the start of the season is quite incredible. Six straight wins under Frank Lampard, as we said. Leicester in second place, Manchester City in fourth, and they are the next game in the Premier League away from home as the headphones crash onto the table in front of me. But can we realistically suggest that Chelsea are now in a title chase?
It's been mooted, isn't it? That people have been discussing it as a possibility. I think the City game is very relevant for this.
It'll
I mean, happily, Liverpool have been this far ahead before and capitulated, so.
As have other teams before.
Much to the hilarity of everybody else involved.
Yeah, they have. My fear is that this game is quite incredible that it's come after the City-Liverpool game, because say this ends in a draw, which mm-hmm. you could quite feasibly do, Liverpool win again, they extend their run even further. Mm. So it's very, very tricky. But
is there not a blip always for some team? Or it's very rare that they then just carry on winning.
I mean, and they have clawed their way over the line already in a fair few results.
Absolutely. And it is 8 points, sorry, not 5 points. It was 5 points prior to Liverpool playing on that Sunday. Of course, eight points ahead at the moment. And yeah, they have. But that's the thing for me. They keep getting the luck. They keep getting the luck of the draw, last minute penalties, last minute goals, last minute winners. And fair enough, you know, they're doing it at the moment. And they look quite unstoppable.
He has got some terrific players. I think Robertson is having the season.
They've got some great players, yeah. Life. And the Robertson, Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Arnold suddenly looks a really top player, which he's a step up from last year.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think it's not far removed from the way that Frank's trying to play. And it's because when Liverpool first started under Klopp, they played for 20 minutes with great attacking flair and then were exhausted. And I feel for 20 minutes and they would then hold themselves back and then have another go. And I feel there are aspects of that in the way that Chelsea play.
If you look at it on a cycle, we are them two seasons ago right now. So
it's with the advantage being the wonderful attacking ability, which whether that means you tweak with a couple of players, there's a possibility that Frank would do that. But I think we talked about that just before the break, that I don't think he's going to buy.
No, I mean, we've got all those injured players to come back in. Loftus-Cheek and Rudiger.
The problem is they're heavily injured, though, aren't they? I mean, Rudiger is another injury, had to have another operation, so there's no way he's going to be in the team soon. Mm. And Loftus-Cheek had great difficulty walking. Up until recently, he was just.
But he is back in the gym at least now, and he's running.
Yeah,
and
yeah, he's been able to run.
He's very merry on Instagram anyway, jumping around in a.
Yeah, yes, he's. But there was a period, though, where he was told to absolutely run in a straight line and not turn, otherwise, he would aggravate the injury again. It was. For him, it was clearly far worse than Odoi's injury.
Must be heartbreaking to be watching this revolution and not. I mean, we sat there and we watched Hudson-Odoi in that cup game. In your seats, while we scoffed all that free pick and mix from the from the posh seats, and we said he was just so desperately trying too hard in that first game, wasn't he? Because you could see the desperation that you've been missing out on all this exciting new revolution and just been watching it from the sidelines, and he overdid it a bit, and we said, didn't you? Just give yourself a break. You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Just the frustration every time he touched the ball and he didn't score a goal was quite sad. But he did in the end, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. When you're watching those players like Mason Mount, like Tomori come in and play so well, you're thinking, I've got to score a worldie. I've got to get noticed, which is incredible where you consider where he was before thinking about going to Germany. Also, I think he spoke this week, didn't he, and said it just took one conversation with Frank Lampard and that was it. That was me. Mm. My mind made up I was going to stay at the club.
And he's now saying how pleased he is he's done it. Because
it's a big deal for Frank as well, because this is going to sound a bit like Ron. But it wasn't so much Hudson-Odoi pushing that move through as his family. And I think that's something that definitely has happened a lot at Chelsea. Definitely happened with Solanke and things like that. When you have a young player and they've got so many people talking in their ear about what they should do and when they should do it, that it can be very hard for the club to just sit there one-on-one and get through to them. And I think, like he says, one conversation with Frank and he was sold, so...
Good old Frank. I think so, because he looked up to Frank. I think that aspect of him being club legend has really contributed to it. But I don't think he's not a soft touch at all, Frank, as a manager. I think there's a steel underbelly there which we've yet to see, but some of the players might be. Well, we've yet to see it obviously being manifested, but let's. I'm sure that from time to time he has to be quite a disciplinarian with some of them.
Well, it is a solid run of games now, isn't it, after this international break. We go into winter as well. And when you look at those fixtures, so it's City away in the Premier League I'm talking about. Of course, there are games in the Champions League sandwich between that. But City away, West Ham at home, and Villa at home, of course, as well. Everton away. I mean, those three there.
They're all winnable.
Very winnable games.
Yeah, the way that West Ham appear to have just...
We had a West Ham fan in the desert, and when he heard the result, he was like, I was going to turn around and go back into the desert now.
I'm just surprised, though. I'm really surprised. I don't understand it, because they started off so well, West Ham, and... he's got three really good players. The whose names all escape me. Well, the
Yarmolenko.
Yeah, Yarmolenko really looked great.
Fornals, you talking and, about? Anderson.
And Anderson. Beginning of the season, good. They were absolutely fantastic. You wonder what's happening.
Well, I think there was one common denominator, and that is Roberto. Fabianski obviously went out in that game against Everton, I think it was. Yeah, but that's five or six Premier League games now without Fabianski, won. Right. And sometimes having that goalkeeper who is so influential does make a difference. Roberto has made some good saves, but we saw in that game against Burnley last weekend that he was culpable for pretty much all three.
Yeah.
So tricky. Guys, I want to finish quickly before we go on Pedro. Slight rumours. This from Ron.
Yeah.
This is the hashtag Ron's rumour.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's do it.
He's leaving in January.
So he's gone, is he? Yeah. Where's Pedro going?
He's getting a lift with all the others.
He's going to Atlanta.
In the US?
Yeah. That's where he's going, according to Ron.
He's not going anywhere in January.
Well, he's been a bit part player, right? So struggled with injury.
He was terrible, though, when he came on against... who did he come on against? Can't remember, second half.
Well, he's playing against Brighton, Leicester, and United in the Premier League.
United in the Carabao Cup.
But he was one of those games as well. He came on having been injured and was clearly not ready to play.
That's true.
He came on for someone who was injured, and he took one for the team because he clearly did not have an hour of running in his legs and that. So I don't think he's going anywhere in the next.
Ron says he's off. So
it wouldn't surprise me if one of them goes.
We need to get a full-size coach to escort them all off of the premises by the sounds of it in January.
And Barkley, could Barkley. Off.
Of course,
and Rudy Evers,
I guess the thing is that you don't need to sell.
Emerson's
right
off.
That's the other one.
Chelsea are not letting anyone go till this transfer ban is over.
No, do you really not believe that? You don't think that any decisions will be made on any players to leave the club until the ban is
lifted? No, it makes sense that they wouldn't do that, doesn't it? But let's see.
I mean, it'd be different if it was like, you know, when Cech left and it had been 10 years and he got an opportunity and he wasn't playing and you had an agreement with a player like that. But we haven't got anyone.
Well,
like
mind you, wonder what Abramovich's involvement is in this. You wonder whether he is very altruistic about that kind of thing and says, you know, if he's appealed to by the player, because I think who was it appealed to him to leave? Cech appealed to him, didn't he? Said, I want to go to Arsenal.
Exactly.
Perhaps if one of the players, Giroud, says, actually, I'd like to leave, please, Mr. Abramovich. And he
just
will
don't
then,
think there's anyone then... with that kind of standing, like a Czech or
no, it's true.
An Ivanovic
who's won
at
so
the
much
time,
of the club.
Who has
no,
won
that's
so
right.
much and has given
that's
you
true.
So much,
right.
and you can't give them that back anymore. I just think we need to be quite hardcore, definitely till the transfer ban is over, and just say nope, sorry.
Any news on that? Any idea what's happening? Have we appealed that? Coming
I've
up
heard
to
anything from Ron. No, I've not heard anything.
I'll ask Ron, funnily enough. Ron will know.
as he knows everything. No, as far as I've heard, it's quite likely they may just do time served. Because obviously all the previous of appeals have been against the actual league who put the thing in the first place. It wasn't the league, was it? It's the FA. But it's been internal appeals and this is an external appeal and they might just do time served, which means we could sell and buy in January. But
indeed. Well, guys, it's been nothing but a pleasure being in your company
for the past hour, man.
On this international break. We'll be back next week looking ahead to that game with Manchester City here on the Chelsea Fan Show on Love Sport.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.